Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
As we move into March with spring just around the corner, here's a question for you. Do you feel trapped in your life today, at home, in your relationships, in your career, perhaps in all three? If you're like I was until about 15 years ago, you're stuck, probably routinely complaining, blaming others and the world around you for your unhappy circumstances, and chances are you were complaining about the same things 5 years ago, and if you don't change, you'll undoubtedly be singing the same sad tune 5 years from now, and unfortunately, you'll probably be right, because the sad truth is negative thinking tends to be a self-fulfilling prophecy. You always fear the worst and don't honestly believe that you can improve your fortunes. You undoubtedly won't. And if you routinely express negative emotions, you'll drive positive, successful people away, the very type of individuals who can help you to make a fresh start. And my guest today, Leslie Strong, offers these blunt words of advice. It's not about someone else or circumstances. It's about you. Are you ready to take 100% responsibility for your life and for how you react to what happens around you? As soon as you do, you'll gain power to create a second half of life that makes you happy, successful, and fulfilled. And Leslie Strong is here to offer suggestions on how to kickstart your life, kind of a spring cleaning this spring. And Leslie is an authentic leadership coach who inspires her clients to identify, reframe, and ultimately transform what's possible. And in 2008, she started Strong Coaching that inspires organizations and individuals to work and live by their values, create visions, and function beyond what they thought was possible. And she's author of the outstanding book, The You Factor, I love that name, A Handbook for Powerful Living. And hello, Leslie, and welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Well, in the intro to your book, you cite reports that 75% of women now claim to be unhappy, and that's up significantly over the past several years. And you contend that the cause of most dissatisfaction among women is, as you call it, the absence of the you factor. And what is the you factor, and why is it absent in so many individuals, especially women and especially at middle age?
Well, the you factor is basically your own personal power. So your personal power is your boundaries, your ability to know who you are and identify what keeps you happy and healthy, your self-esteem intact and your well-being intact. And it's also the ability to be able to change courses in an effective manner when you can see that life isn't working out the way you want. And, you know, I've studied gender. The gender differences I think I started back in, 2000, 1999. And one of the most interesting things about women is that we're wired to bond and connect. And in doing so, we hand over our power to other people because we want them to like us. We want them to bond and connect with us. So, if I'm going to bond with you, I'm going to say, well, what does he need me to do to get him to like me? What do I need to do to have that happen? And so I've given you all my power. My emotions and my reactions and actions are based on you and what you do and how you feel.
That's why so many
women have given up power, and I call don't have the you factor.
Yeah. Well, in a nutshell, your advice to women who feel trapped seems to be, it's not about them, it's about you. But isn't this a bit selfish? How can you honor and serve the needs and desires of those you love and please your boss, coworkers, and customers by always putting yourself first?
Roy, such a great question, and I get asked that all the time. And we really are brought up in a society to give, give, give.
Yeah.
And you know, you really can't give to anybody else without giving to yourself. So the first Amen. Part of my book is all about being filled up. So what do you do for you that fills up your heart and soul? Because if you're empty inside, when you deal with other people, you go looking for them to fill you up, to
yeah.
give you something that you need. And therefore, you're not being an authentic giver because you're not giving for them. You're giving in order to receive what you need. Pardon?
I said that's a great way to put it.
Yeah,
like
and
this,
so, you know, so if we're all filled up inside, well, then we can absolutely give. We can give everything because we are all good in there.
I like this where I read somewhere, and I put it in my book, that female lions do all the hunting, and they also eat first.
If we could all be lions, huh?
Well,
I think the cougars have taken that over, haven't they?
Yeah. They're eating a lot of young men anyway.
And well, good for them.
Your book introduction also cites some good news that you can remedy the absence of the U factor. And let's say you're a female and 54, just say, and you have a demanding boss, unreasonable demands at home. Everyone wants you to do all the housework, and, you know, after you spend a day at the office. How do you keep your head above water and recapture that feeling that you're in control when others demand so much, you know, without running them all off and destroying relationships? How do you do that?
Yeah, well, and that's, you know, so interesting that when you say, you know, without running them off, because what happens is because we typically react to people, our
yeah.
lives are very reactionary, especially when you're working full time and you come home to kids and a partner, and you need to cook and you need to get the groceries, and you've spent all day basically kowtowing to your boss or your team
yes.
and working like crazy. But that's a reactionary mode, so there's really no control in that. You really, women tend to feel very out of control, like we are in it for everybody else, and we don't even have time to stop and think, is this really what I want to do? Is this really what I want?
Believe me, some of us men get in that kind of a situation, too, because I've been
absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's a human nature thing that we do. We end up being very reactionary, and it's very hard to stop and say, well, what really is going to work for me and what isn't? But that really is, when we look at the power tools, it's about looking in the mirror and saying, okay, I'm the cause of this. I know
yeah.
it looks like everybody else is the cause. It really does. Like, you know, your boss is telling you one thing and your partner's telling you another and your kids are yelling and screaming, take me here, take me there. It looks like it's everybody else, but you're the only one you can change. You're the only one you can control. You can't control them.
That's
so when
exactly
you start
right,
looking at you,
and when you when you're really confident about yourself, and you say wake up in the morning and you say this is my objectives for today, and you know, you have some personal objectives as well as all the things that other people want you to do, I think other people soon start respecting you when you you handle it in the right way and explain why you can't do something that they want, and you know, clearly show yourself as someone in control of your personal life as well as wanting to serve others. I think that makes a big difference in what people demand of you.
Yeah, isn't it interesting how we know who we can take advantage of?
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah, and when you do start to look at yourself and give yourself what you need, so do other people.
Yeah, that's exactly
it's
right.
It's that law of attraction, you know, sort
yeah.
of thing.
Well, tell us a little about your personal story. It was interesting in the book how were you able to overcome your own frustration when you tried out as a stay-at-home mom, and what difficult choice did you make, and what were the wonderful positive consequences that followed?
Well, I did try my hand at staying home. I always worked, and I grew up with brothers, and I worked in the beer business. I worked in gender differences. And when I wanted to have children, I thought, well, I really don't want a nanny raising them. I would
yeah.
like to raise them.
Yeah.
And I really struggled wanting to work and wanting to have children and then having a partner who had needs and then my kids having these needs. And I really felt like I was just being torn each and every way, and I was a glorified taxi driver and a cook and a cleaner. And I just And I never gave to myself. I only ever gave out to the people in my life.
Yeah.
And I just got really empty. And I literally woke up and I thought, I got a great husband, I got two great kids, I got a great house. But I'm not happy. Like, is this all there is? Is this what life is about?
I liked how you put it. You felt like you were continuing as a hostage to the central vacuum cleaner,
hating
every minute of it.
Mm-hmm. Totally. And I didn't live it like I had any choices. I began to live like a victim,
yeah.
Like I was a hostage. Like I was being made to do this and made to do that. And I forgot that I'm the one who chose it. You know,
yeah.
I forgot that I actually had choices and I could make new choices if I wanted.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just live. We just get so caught up in go, go, go and react, react, react. And we actually forget that we are in charge of our own lives.
That's right. Yeah, I can so many remember feeling like I was, you know, when my company one time wanted me to move from Philadelphia to Harrisburg, and I felt like that was something I just had to do or I'd have to leave the company, and it really was my choice whether I wanted to accept that move or not. It wasn't, you know, somebody else's, this is what you've got to do, because I loved the house I was in and I didn't want to move.
And how did you feel when, did you move to Harrisburg or no?
Well, unfortunately, I made a very bad choice, and I moved to northern New Jersey, a job that I took that I didn't like. So it wasn't a good choice, but I felt like I was in charge of my own life. But in fact, I wasn't, because I was just reacting to what other people. I didn't stop and think, what do I really want? Do I, certainly it's no great harm to move to Harrisburg. That's a nice area. And instead, out of spite, I took this job in New Jersey and didn't like the job and didn't like northern New Jersey because it was too busy.
Wow.
So I sort of, there again, I felt like I was a victim of the company doing something that I didn't like, which is something obviously you don't want to be.
No, and sometimes we forget that we could actually ask questions of people, that maybe we're making assumptions that we have to do something, and if we don't, we might get fired. But that may or may not be true. Right? A lot of times we don't even ask the questions or we don't broach the subject to find out what really are the facts and what is real and what isn't real and how do I make a really educated choice for myself based
on facts.
What I love
from your book is when you made that choice that you were going to go into, coaching, and you began thinking, and once you made that choice, you began thinking of all kinds of creative ideas to make family and your new career as a life coach work together.
Yeah, it just opened up because I no longer had that tunnel vision of a victim. Well, first of all, I could actually look at what did I want, because before I was only looking at what I didn't have and what people were keeping me from having.
Yeah, you got out of the trap of postponing the decision, and you decided I'm going to do it this way, and then the ideas start flowing in.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, it's like a 5% mindset shift can open up 180-degree shift in your world around you and what you can see as possibility.
Well, for those of us seeking to take control and transform our lives, what are some of the most common traps to avoid?
Well, one of the biggest traps is that we become very fearful. And especially as we get older, we get very fearful because, it's like, well, why would I leave my job? I'm too old to find a new one. Why would I do that now in my life?
Think
I don't
of all
have
the potential financial consequences, like losing a house and, all the things that could go wrong, not to mention the personal humiliation if you quit a good job and can't find a better one.
Right. And so we live in that fear. And the interesting thing about fear is, fear is about the future. It hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
And we let it. We use it as an excuse so that we don't actually move or have to move forward.
Yeah, that's right.
And
that's the paralysis of analysis.
Yes. Isn't that a fact?
Yeah.
So a lot of us get stuck in that fear, and we talk ourselves out of it. We listen to that little voice in our head that says we can't do it or we shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
And then we just, and then we have lots of excuses why we don't have what we want. And, and as we get older, the excuses look better and they're more acceptable because we are older. We do need to hold on to financial stability and maybe our houses and our children and be close to them and whatnot. It does, you know, possibly that is a good excuse. But that is something that really keeps us stuck.
No, that's true. You have to be rational about it and not quit out of disgust or, you know, do something and walk out with a smile on your face because you quit the boss you didn't like, and the next day you say, why did I do that? What do I do next?
Yeah. Well, you know, and then there's some of those, the opposite of those, the quick fixes, as I call them.
Yeah.
Right? We go and we say, oh, I'm not happy, so I'm going to quit my job.
Yeah.
Then you, without really thinking about it, you just kind of make a rash decision.
Yeah, I like the other trap you talked about, being trapped by your past. You know, you say, because something didn't work for me in the past, I'm not going to try anything new. Or, maybe
right.
You were told something as a child that you're not good enough to do something or other, and that you get this little voice inside that keeps telling you not to take any chances.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, and the interesting thing is the future hasn't happened.
No.
And it's really empty, right? It really hasn't happened yet. So we don't know that the same thing will happen over and over again.
No, that's exactly
We
right.
actually create, I believe, that it happens. The same thing happens over because we're expecting it to.
Yeah.
But I think if just because something happened one way once doesn't mean it'll happen the same way twice.
No, I like what you call the ultimate trap is to assume a victim's mindset. And that's really, you know, blaming someone else and being the victim all the time is the worst possible way to live, as far as I can see.
And have you had conversations with those people?
I've had conversations with people like that too many times. They're
and
not
it's,
people
it's hard,
you want
isn't
to
it?
Around, but yes, it is.
Yeah. I mean, those are the people who just really blame everybody else for their life and why their life isn't working out. And they are so right about their excuses, and they're so right about where they are and how it's not their fault, that they just can't see any different.
No, and it's so weird.
I mean, it's painful for me to watch people in that place. I just want to pull them out.
They're rationalizing why they don't haven't been as successful as Joe Blow or someone they know, and so they blame others. And by doing that, they're really just sticking themselves in the same trap that they're in now.
Yeah.
But it's amazing that sometimes you make yourself feel better by blaming someone else for where you are, where really it's getting you absolutely nowhere.
Absolutely. You know, it's not moving you forward, that's for sure.
No, that's for sure. Well, in your book, The U Factor, you describe 10 power tools to become unstuck and kickstart your new life. And to get started, what are two or three power tools that we could use, and how do we employ them? Maybe you could give us a couple of those.
Sure. Well, the first one, is really does combat that whole victim mindset, and it is to take 100% responsibility for your life.
Yeah.
The past, the present, the future, the good, the bad, and the really ugly. Our lives are our lives, and we are the only ones who can make ourselves happy. Nobody else can do that for us.
That's very true.
Until people realize, and I had to realize, that I really was 100% responsible for how I reacted to situations, what I did next, how I moved forward. And once I really got that, the amount of power I had in my world and the amount of control I had just gave me so much happiness and joy that I could create my life the way I wanted it.
Yeah, it's just getting over that fear factor that you can't create the life, or that, maybe you totally love your spouse, and yet if you're totally dependent on your spouse for your own happiness, that isn't the way to... Yeah, you've got to be happy inside, and happiness tends to.
Yeah, because they're going to disappoint you if you're looking to your spouse to make you happy, and they look at life through a different lens. They're going to do something or say something that you're not going to like, and then you're going to be unhappy about it. But they're just living their life from their perspective.
And when two tanks are connected with a little tube between them, the water always settles to a common level, and so you can't depend on you being real happy if your spouse or partner isn't happy, and that's another thing. But obviously, if you're not happy, your spouse isn't probably going to remain that happy over time either, because it just doesn't work that way.
Right. And, you know, I have it in my book about relationships, and, you know, so many of us, we're all brought up to take 50% of responsibility for how our relationship goes and giving somebody else 50%. But that means you've given somebody else 50% of the ability to control your happiness.
That's a very good point.
So I always say each person in the relationship needs to take 100% responsibility for how great that relationship is.
And once you take 100% responsibility, then you'll really want to help your partner achieve their goals in life as well. It just works that way all the time.
Yes. Yes, you come from a different place. You come from a place of love and a place of goodness instead of a place of, well, I've done my share. Have you done yours? What have you done for me lately?
Well, what are a couple other power tools that you can use? I know you have to accept the responsibility. What do you do next then?
Well, if we go in order, there's, check your story. We all have our baggage.
Yeah.
And so many of us live, and we're talking about living in the past and bringing the past into the future. We really have to look back and see, how is the past running you? You know, if you look at your reactions and your actions and with your partners, with your families, at work, and the things that trigger you. You know, we all kind of get triggered by somebody or something, and that's coming from your past, and that's part of your story. And I call it a story because our past is really just an interpretation of the events of your life that you've added stuff to. You added meaning to it. You've added drama to it. You've added a different, perspective. I mean, anyone who has siblings, and I laugh with my brothers because we will completely tell a different story of exactly the same story, but we'll have a different interpretation, the three of us.
Yeah, that's very true. They grew up in the same house, but you all see it from a different perspective.
Yeah, right. And that's it's a very good indication that these are stories that we tell, and it might depend on your mood that day, how you interpret what just happened.
Yeah.
So I call them stories. So you want to check on those stories and make sure, they're in the past. You can't change them anyway. So you can change your reaction. And I say just move on, have a better reaction so you can be positive and you can move forward.
So foolish to look back and say, if only I'd done this differently, or what if I'd done something differently.
It's
no point.
And where does that get you, right?
Absolutely nowhere.
Absolutely. And my book is all about how do we move forward? Just how do you get moving forward instead of being stuck where you are?
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah. And another one that's a power tool that I talk about is assumptions. And we all have a lot of assumptions that we live by. And assumptions are unverified truths in our mind. And they can really put us on a path and have us react in a particular way that may or may not be correct for the situation if the assumption is wrong.
Yeah, I like the way, and one of your tools is challenge your assumptions to make sure that they make sense in the context of where you are today and who you want to be in the future and where you're coming from.
Yeah. I had a client, and she just had an assumption that, bosses were to be more like mentors and to have a relationship with the people who were under them and to care about them and to want them to be successful. And when her boss wasn't like that, she was all up in arms. She's like, I can't work here.
If only
they
all were like that,
stand
it would be a different world, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And I said, well, what if your boss doesn't go under the definition of what you think a good boss should? Wow. And so, she had to, when she accepted that was her definition, was her assumption of what she thought he should do, she was in a different world. Like, she could just completely move on and have a different relationship with him. But
and
that assumption was making
her assumption
crazy.
That he was, instead of a mentor, he was an SOB.
Exactly. I'm glad you said that.
No, I like your last powerful way, just put it into action, because so many people analyze and make all these resolutions and intentions in their lives, but they never really take steps to put it into action.
It's so true. And, without application of anything, there's nothing. There's no result.
No.
You could read a book on how to lose weight, but unless you actually start, you know, exercising or eating healthy, it's not going to make a difference.
Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's okay. I was going to say we could read books on tons of things, but unless you take action, it means nothing. And I always say that just because you have an intention to take an action, but then you add an excuse of why you didn't do it, it doesn't mean you actually got a result.
Makes you feel worse when you intend to do something and you don't, then you probably tend to beat up on yourself for not doing it.
Right. And there's a lot. I dealt with some clients who their employees would say, well, I didn't get this done because, but they still kind of related to the situation like they had a result.
Yeah.
And we're like, no, there's still no result. All we have is an excuse. We don't have a result. There's no action.
Well, tell us a little more about your book, The U Factor, A Handbook for Powerful Living. What distinguishes your book from all the other self-help books out there? I know it's pretty unique.
It's unique because it's based on personal power, and which is a different conversation. The things I talk about are not new, but they are spoken from a very different perspective. So that I say every time you have a negative emotion like frustration, anger, resentment, it's because you've handed your power over to something or someone.
Amen.
And so it's a great way to know where, like when you've given away your power and it's time to get it back.
Yeah.
And it's a very short, it's probably the shortest self-help book you'll ever read. It's to the point, it's practical, and and it's a real quick, easy read.
It's so true that when you recognize what you've done and how you've given that power away, it's so much easier to regain that power than if you keep living in the notion that you did the right thing and you didn't give anything away. Can we men read the book as well, or is it written solely for you women?
It is a book for anybody. These tools are so practical. I mean, we all make assumptions. We all make up our stories of our lives. We all have different perspectives. We can all be victims. It really is a genderless book. The only reason I wrote it for women is that women tend to give away their power more than men do.
Yes.
And so, you know, I just specialized it.
Well, where can we go to preview and purchase your book? Where's the best place to do that?
Amazon.com, or my website is strongcoaching.com. You can get it. If you're in Canada, you can also get it at all the bookstores, the Chapters bookstores across Canada.
And you also, through your website, I guess you offer coaching, both one-on-one coaching for individuals and also organizational coaching. And how do they get in touch with you to sign you up as a coach or check that out?
Yeah, just by going to my website, strongcoaching.com, there's information of how to get a hold of me. There's my phone number, my email address, and just send me an email. And I do go into corporations. I coach in entire corporations, small teams, groups. Ooh. I do individuals. And it doesn't just have to be corporate. I also do life coaching for those people who want a different skew than the corporate side. So, you know, it's just be specific about what you're looking for, and I'll get back to you.
Sounds good. Well, to conclude this segment, just who is the star of your life's movie, you or someone else? When you're stuck or discouraged, is it always someone else's fault? And when we pass the buck, it's a lot like the movie Groundhog Day. We just keep experiencing the same failures over and over again. And isn't it time to begin picturing yourself as the star, the playwright, and the director of your own life movie, responsible both for writing the script and then for acting and making it happen? And when things get tough, you can't always depend upon someone else or chance to bail you out. In worst case, you could have be written out of your very own success story, destined for a life of disappointment, discomfort, and unhappiness. And I'm sure none of us want that. So let's step up and follow Leslie's advice and assume the role of star. And what better way for you and I to renew our lives midstream? And thanks a million, Leslie Strong, for suggesting how we can take control.
Thank you so much for having me, and I look forward to talking to anybody who's interested in calling and getting some more ideas.
That sounds good, and they can go to your website, strongconsulting.com, and find out the details of how to get in touch with you, I guess.
Yes, excellent.
Strongcoaching.com, I think.
Strongcoaching.com, yes.
And, well, best of success with your book and in your strong coaching services, both for individuals and organizations. And let's hope spring gets here soon.
Yes, I agree. Well, thank you so much for having me. I've enjoyed our time.
It's been my pleasure. Thanks so much. Well, three winners have been declared for the $564 million February 11, 2015 Powerball Lottery jackpot. You may judge me crazy, but I thank God it wasn't me who won. Cuss me out if you must, but I think it's best that you didn't win the prize either. I cite three common sense maxims as old as human history, but as fresh as the morning sun. First of all, a reward most cherished is one fully earned, not one randomly granted, won, or inheritance. You know, there's no sense of pride, really, in buying a lottery ticket and getting all that money. Second, as you and I look back, aren't our fondest memories of the anticipation, planning, and striving for worthwhile goals rather than the actual prize? I think you'll find that's true. I know I do. And third, a future absent clearly defined goals and inspiration for tomorrow really is no life at all. You know, all that money just might spoil us. We will never gain lifelong satisfaction with the sole objective of accumulating wealth. That's a sad truth that most people who have earned a lot of money have learned. The only true and lasting prize from winning life's financial lottery is the peace of mind and the freedom to choose. And for most of us, goofing off full-time for the next 30 to 40 years simply will not cut it. You know, the time on the golf course will get a little stale, or sailing around the world or whatever, unless we have some purpose in life. A key quality of life issue confronting every wealthy individual is just how they will choose to spend their time. And believe me, some people of wealth spend it very well. They're extremely generous, and they give themselves and a lot of their money to help others. And I'm certainly not knocking being wealthy. But I believe you and I can establish a lottery winner's mentality without winning a dime. Are you aware of the universal law of attraction? I think most of us have heard about that. First, visualize those circumstances that you most cherish in life. And then if you're a religious person, turn to God in prayer or the universal consciousness, whatever you may call the ultimate being, and ask for help to convert your dreams into reality. And then before you return to your normal daily routine, take a few moments to implant in your subconscious mind a couple of facts. First of all, pretend that, yes, I did win life's lottery emotionally. And you know, once you implant something in your brain, whether it actually happened or not, if it's in the subconscious, it's real, whether you actually did it or not. So, yes, you did win life's lottery emotionally, and I hereby appoint or take full control of my future and appoint myself CEO of me. In other words, I'm 100% responsible for success in life going forward. And I have absolutely no doubt that over the coming months and years, I will accomplish every single life objective truly important to me. And then furthermore, sit back and visualize what life will be like once you accomplish those objectives. That's part of the secret, as they call it, in the law of attraction. You have to go beyond just stating it. You have to start visualizing yourself as the person you will become and what it'll feel like once you have those goals accomplished. And second, you will make the difficult pledge that I will make the difficult financial and emotional sacrifices up front, and these short-term sacrifices will buy me a lifelong lottery winner's mentality. Once committed to my subconscious mind, I will pursue my dreams as though I had won the lottery. You know, it might even make sense to sell that house if you need to set aside funds to live for a while you transition to something you really love doing. I know that's an extreme example, but whatever it takes, you need to buy up front that lottery winner's mentality and the time to transition into the person that you want to be. You know, next to good health and loving relationships, there are two treasures above all others, and one is a life and financial and emotional balance so that you're not striving all the time to make ends meet and performing a job that you really don't enjoy and admire. So one would be a life and financial and emotional balance, You don't want to be spending more than you're earning, and you don't want to be earning the money doing something you don't want to be doing. And the second key treasure above all others is to enjoy every aspect of daily living, including what we define as work. You know, it's an unfortunate and misleading heresy to assume that no one will pay us to have a good time on our own terms, because it is possible to find that kind of a vocation so long as the activity you enjoy contributes benefit to others. Obviously, I can't just go out and play golf all the time, benefiting no one but myself. Maybe the maker of golf balls when I lose them. But it obviously has to contribute to others, or somebody's not going to pay you to have a good time. You know, I once met a man that had been out of work for some time, and he said to me in frustration, "Somebody's going to have to start paying me something. And I said, "Why would they do that, Bill? What are you going to contribute?" And that's obviously part of it. But what do you truly want to do with your productive hours, and how best can you employ your talents in enjoyable service to others? All those thoughts will come to mind over time once you begin visualizing yourself as the successful person you want to be. You don't have to make all those decisions in the next hour or the next week. You know, once a positive vision of the future is firmly entrenched in your subconscious mind, you will begin thinking and acting like the successful, self-assured person you were created to be all along. And you will find that most successful people in life have that inner direction and that feeling of success and accomplishment. That's the one thing, perhaps, that so many of us are lacking who aren't successful either financially or emotionally. And you then will have accomplished a genuine lottery winner's mentality. Actually, it'll be far better than a lottery winner's mentality, because you will have accomplished it rather than just been given the prize. And you will be fully prepared to venture outside previous comfort zones to create your own destiny. Now go for it. Well, to learn more about a lottery winner's mentality, along with a whole lot of other information and a comprehensive step-by-step pathway to midlife renewal, please review and consider purchasing my book, A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, by Roy C. Richards. It's your step-by-step pathway to the second half of life that will bring joy and a positive outlook on life, and I would highly recommend it. You can preview and purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or we have a store on our own website, www.middleagerenewal.com. And I invite you to visit our website. We offer a free prize there, a free gift, and also a whole lot of information, videos, and other information on midlife renewal. That's middleagerenewal.com. And that's our program for this week. Next week, we're going to turn our attention to a key challenge for those of us at middle life, and that's at middle age, I should say, and that's parenting our teenagers, our teenage sons and daughters, as they transition from cuddly little kids that we like to squeeze to pretty difficult challenges. But we want to usher them into the world of adulthood with the best equipped they can possibly be. And tune in next week when we'll have some experts talk about parenting. And thank you so much for joining us today on Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.